UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Today's topic is the oculoplastic services at UAB Medicine and Botox for eyelid spasms. My guest is Dr. Sarah Jacobs. She's an assistant professor specializing in oculoplastics and reconstructive surgery at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jacobs. You're new to UAB, so let's start with a little information about you, a little introduction.
Thanks for having me on the show. As far as introduction, I grew up in Arizona, where I went to undergraduate and a master's degree. After that, I moved to Minnesota, where I did medical school at Mayo Clinic. Then I went to Roanoke, Virginia for an intern year, traveled halfway across the country to St. Louis, where I went to Washington University for ophthalmology training as an eye surgeon, and then spent 2 years in Seattle doing a subspecialized fellowship in ophthalmic plastic and reconstructive surgery.
So tell us a little bit about oculoplastics services at UAB Medicine, and what's the evolution of it?
Well, oculoplastics is you can almost think of it as a sub-sub-subspecialty. It grew up out of ophthalmology, really around the time of the Second World War. There were so many plastic surgeons and general surgeons who were working on burns and traumas and amputations that a lot of the eyelid injuries and eye injuries were sitting by the wayside. So at one point, a couple of ophthalmologists were honestly just sitting around a table talking about how to take care of the eye in the context of these injured faces and eyelids that they were seeing coming back from battle. And they decided that they, as ophthalmologists, should create a subspecialty to fix the eyelids and the eye sockets. Actually, one of those guys at the table was Dr. Alston Callahan, who's the namesake of Callahan Eye Hospital. So kind of one of the fathers of my subspecialty founded Callahan Eye.
So what are some common conditions and factors that lead to some of the eye issues that you see? What are you seeing there?
It's a broad combination of issues of the eyelids, the eye sockets, and the tear drainage system. Of the eyelids, we have age-related changes, like excess skin that hangs down and hoods over the eyelid and blocks the vision, or age-related changes like the muscle within the eyelid getting stretched and loosened over time and becoming so droopy that the eyelid sits low and the patients can't see past it. There are also acquired conditions of the eyelids, like skin cancers can occur on the lid or around the lid. And when those are removed, it takes a very specific, specialized reconstructive approach to get the eyelid back to looking and functioning how it should. When you look into the orbital issues that I see, there can be anything from traumas, broken bones from car accidents or assaults or fights. You can have tumors or cancers that grow within the eye socket, or you can have inflammation that occurs within the eye socket and chronically changes how it looks and feels. Sometimes those can actually threaten vision. And so the orbital side of my practice is dealing with all of those conditions in order to keep a person seeing and functioning well. And then the final part of it is the treatment of tear drainage issues. We have people who are constantly tearing, just tears dripping down the face because their tear drainage system in the eyelid and down through the nose doesn't work. It gets closed over time. And so another of the things that I focus on is the reopening or reconstruction of the tear drainage system so that people's tears aren't dripping down their face. They're going back where they belong.
Dr. Jacobs, what are eye spasms and do we know what causes them?
Eyelid spasms are the muscles around the eye that can begin to flex or twitch or even slam shut involuntarily. There's a few different types. There's one type, very common, called orbicularis myokymia. Myokymia is those little tiny flickering twitches that you get just on one eyelid that kind of they come on more commonly when you're lacking sleep or having too much caffeine or very stressed out. So I'll get people who come into the office from time to time with that kind of spasm extremely worried. The nice thing about myokymia is that it's self-resolving and it doesn't become anything worse and it doesn't need treatment. The other types of eyelid spasms, though, are treatable and do deserve treatment and investigation. there's a type of spasm that can occur across one eyelid and down that whole half of the face, where everything just grimaces on that half, that can actually be related to compression of the nerve that controls your facial expression, the seventh cranial nerve or facial nerve, which passes from the brainstem in the back of your head near the neck all the way through the brain cavity, comes out just in front of the ear, and then supplies the face. When that nerve is on its way from the brainstem to the face, it passes a couple of vascular structures, one of which can have a small aneurysm or be too close to the nerve and press on it, causing that nerve to fire, causing that half of your face to flex involuntarily. It's called hemifacial spasm. When that's happening, the patient should be evaluated because it's potentially treatable either with a surgery to place a buffer between the blood vessel and the nerve, or with Botox to inject those spasming muscles so that the patient isn't having grimacing across their eyelid and that half of the face. And then the third type is something called benign essential blepharospasm. That tends to come from the structure in the brain called the basal ganglia, which regulates your movement programming. For whatever reason, it gets into a loop that tells the eyelid muscles that they need to blink shut. And so in the beginning, a person will notice that they just blink a lot. And then eventually it will evolve over time so that the eyelids aren't just blinking, they're forcibly closing. Sometimes it reaches the point where a person might be driving or doing a visual task and their eyelids will close involuntarily and they can't get them open. And if you can imagine that happening when you're behind the wheel of a car, you can imagine why benign essential blepharospasm would need treatment. That is also treatable with Botox to calm down those muscle spasms so that the eyelids stay open, blink at a normal rate, and allow the person to see as they should.
So is this a standard of care now? And tell us a little bit about using Botox to treat several eye-related conditions.
It has become a standard of care to treat benign essential blepharospasm and hemifacial spasm with nerve-modulating agents like botulinum toxin. The injections go into each of the muscle beds that are spasming. So depending on whether it's just around the eye, you get your Botox injected around the eye. If it's spasming all across the hemi face, down through the smile muscles, the frown muscles, or even into the neck, then the botulinum toxin can be injected in those muscle regions as well in order to calm the spasms. The way that it works is that the botulinum prevents the nerve from signaling to the muscle so that the muscle doesn't spasm, so that it doesn't flex as firmly. Interestingly, because it's the muscles of facial expression that cause wrinkling on the face, we can also use botulinum toxin injections to prevent the flexure of the facial muscles to prevent wrinkling or to treat wrinkles so that they don't progress into deeper fixed creases in the skin.
So it's helping more than one thing. Are there any clinical contraindications for institution for certain patients?
There are. So botulinum toxin, most people may have heard of botulinum as in botulism, as in a bad canned good that became bloated and funky and awful over time. And if you eat that bad soup anyway, you may end up paralyzed or dead. Botulism, the disease systemically, is something that we have to keep in mind when we're thinking about treating someone with botulinum. We're using orders of magnitude smaller doses and placing it very specifically into only the affected muscles so that it's not systemically generalizing, so that you don't have any of the side effects when you think of a bad canned good botulism. What that means is that the contraindications to using botulinum toxin as an injection to treat spasms or to treat wrinkles is that we have to screen the patients ahead of time to make sure that they're not pregnant or nursing, that they don't have a neuromuscular degenerative disease that would make them more responsive or more hyperreactive to the effects of the botulinum, and also to make sure that they haven't had botulinum toxin injections within the last 3 months, because that can lead to your immune system reacting and creating an allergy or a response to it.
So how often does this work, the first time and then one and done, or does it have to be redone?
That's a really good question. Botulinum toxin's effects in the body last anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and then they wear off always in every patient. So they do have to be redone, especially for hemifacial and benign essential blepharospasm patients. We'll put them on a schedule where they come back in about every 3 to 6 months. Over time, we become more acquainted with how often a patient needs the treatment, and we space them out accordingly so that their own biometabolism of the injection is matched up to how frequently we're giving it. But it's never more frequent than every 3 months.
And when is the point that surgery might be considered?
There are some patients who don't tolerate long-term coming in that frequently for their injections. There are some patients whose spasms are so severe that we would have to completely paralyze the muscles of their eyelids and of their face in order to keep them from spasming. When you've fully paralyzed a muscle, that's actually a disservice as much as not paralyzing it at all, because at that point the eyelids can't blink and close, or they're drooping, or the mouth isn't able to maintain continence and keep them from dribbling out the corners. And so if a person would require full fundamental overtreatment with Botox, that would be a point at which, if they have hemifacial spasm, we might consider referring them to neurosurgery to think about surgical intervention rather than the medical intervention of injections. For benign essential blepharospasm, there isn't a surgery to treat it other than removal of the orbicularis muscles that close the eye. And what we have found is that the morbidity of that surgery, the damage that it does to the eyelids and the slow recovery that a patient requires, is almost never worth it in comparison to continuing a course of botulinum injections.
So give us a little blueprint for future developments in treatments. Where do you see this going for many of these eye issues and some of the other things that you're doing at UAB Medicine?
If you look at the trajectory of botulinum toxin over the last decade, I think that gives you a predictor of how it's going to head over the upcoming decade. The direction that it's going is that the manufacturers and drug developers are moving toward a more refined subunit from the botulinum toxin, one that is systemically safer, less likely to provoke an allergic reaction, and may even have effects that persist longer in the body. There are currently products coming onto the market that might last as long as 5 months rather than the quoted 3. There are some coming onto the market that are less likely to give you swelling and pain and tenderness at the injection site because they're less likely to provoke an allergic response. I think that's the direction that they'll be taking, is making it a more tolerable, lower side effect profile as we move forward with developing it.
And in summary, Dr. Jacobs, tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about the oculoplastic services at UAB Medicine, and if they have questions about Botox for eyelid spasms or any other condition, and when to refer to a specialist.
What I'd like other physicians to know about the oculoplastics here at UAB is that we are open, available, and ready to see their patients. There are a lot of issues that come across, especially a primary care physician's desk in a day, and they might be more focused on hypertension, diabetes, etc. But treatment of the eyelid disorders that block vision can really improve a patient's quality of life, their safety as a driver, and their day-to-day function when they're reading, watching TV, using the computer, or going about their activities of daily living. So if I could pin anything into the back of their mind, it's to look out for the droopy eyelids and recognize that they could really improve their patient's day-to-day quality of life by getting those eyelids taken care of. If I could pin one thing in their mind about Botox in particular, it's that a patient doesn't have to suffer with their hemifacial or benign essential blepharospasm, that the treatments are available, safe, as long as the patient meets criteria, and that we can deliver those easily and readily to anybody who needs it.
Thank you so much for being on with us today, Dr. Jacobs. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Callahan Eye Hospital by calling 844-UAB-EYES. That's 844-325-8620. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.